Listen for the school bell. There it is. That means it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're going to be studying about Timothy. We're looking at the great men and women of the Bible. And now we've come to Timothy the preacher, often called Timothy the evangelist. And the title of this lesson is Timothy, a good minister of Christ Jesus. And when you have your Bible, you'll want to turn first to Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And those will be the texts we'll be looking at, the basic text we'll be looking at to study about Timothy. And so while you're getting your Bible and turning to Acts chapter 16, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we are studying Sunday school lessons written by E. A. Elam. And the Sunday school lesson we're looking at the beginning today was one that he wrote for the Sundays of September the 23rd, 1923. And even though it's an old lesson, the truths that are taught therein never grow old. They never grow old. Well, now let's look at our lesson text. When talking about Timothy, Elam directs us first to Acts chapter 16, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3, where it says, "And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish that believed, but his father was a Greek. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." Turning now in your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 19, and we read there, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will truly care for your state, for they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a child serveth the Father, so he serveth me in furtherance of the gospel." And now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And beginning in verse 1, we read, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also, for which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou wouldst stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands." And now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. "But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All of these readings come from the American Standard Version that was copyrighted in 1901. There is a golden text for this Sunday school lesson, very appropriate for Timothy. It is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Be thou an example to them that believe, in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. And then the devotional reading is found in the 119th Psalm. Now you'll notice that the 119th Psalm is divided into sections of eight verses apiece. And the first one, Aleph, the second one is called Beth, and the third one, Gimel, and on down. And those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's an alphabetical psalm. And so when you look at like the one we're going to look at, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, in the original Hebrew language, the first letter of the first word of each verse begins with the Hebrew letter they call Beth, that somewhat corresponds to what we call B. And so looking at the 119th Psalm, this poetic work, beginning in verse 9 and going through verse 16, we read, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now let's go to the Sunday school lesson itself, and read from Elam's notes. We begin in the text. We have Acts chapter 16, 1, where it says, and he, now this is talking about Paul. And so I'll read it that way. And Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish that believed. But his father was a Greek. Timothy's house was at Lystra. There Paul met him. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, were Christians of unfeigned faith. From them he had first learned the Scriptures, according to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 and 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul calls Timothy his true child in the faith in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12 and 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, or in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2 and in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Which leads us to think that he became a Christian during Paul's first visit to Lystra. He knew of the stoning of Paul and of all the wonderful things which had taken place there. He had by this time been in the church 5 or 6 or 7 years, long enough to be established both in teaching and practice of the gospel of Christ and in the confidence of the brethren. Paul speaks of the prophecies which led the way to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. God saw that he would become a useful man. So we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 2. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and at Iconium. Timothy being well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium shows that he had lived so as to gain the appropriation of these brethren. Doubtless he had already begun to preach the gospel and to teach the word of God. This is a scriptural example to all young preachers. First, they should be in good standing in their home congregations and well reported of for good character and good works. If not, they should never start out trying to preach to others. Later, Timothy was commanded by Paul to commit what he had learned from Paul to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. These men must first have proved themselves faithful. God's order is to begin at home and to work outward, to first be proved and then to serve. And so Timothy accompanied Paul and Silas. We read in Acts chapter 16 and in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Well, it was because of Timothy's character and standing at home that Paul took him into his company and into broader fields of usefulness. We know that Timothy became a preacher and Paul's fellow worker and fellow prisoner for Christ's sake. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23. Timothy's mother was a Jewish, but his father was a Greek. He had not therefore been circumcised, and the Jews knew this. Paul circumcised him as a family mark to allay the prejudice of the Jews, but not as a religious rite or as a Christian duty. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh through love. And again in Galatians 6 and verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. All are one, Galatians 3:28. Paul would not yield for a moment to having Titus circumcised as a duty to God, as obedience to Christ, or as a religious rite. Circumcision had no relation to Christ and no connection with the gospel. Paul wrote about this in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, we read where Paul said, after the space of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus with me. And I went up by revelation, and I laid before them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately before them who were of repute, lest by any means I should be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of the false brethren privately brought in, who came in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who were reputed to be somewhat, whoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted not man's person. They, I say, who were of repute, imparted nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, even as Peter with the gospel of the circumcision. For he that wrought for Peter into the apostleship of the circumcision wrought for me also into the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given to me, James and Cephas and John, and they who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me Barnabas and me myself the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the Gentiles and they into the circumcision, only that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was zealous to do. And so there's no question of circumcising the Gentiles and requiring them to keep the law of Moses. That had been settled forever. We actually read about this in the book of Acts, chapter 15. There was a conference in Jerusalem where they gathered the elders and the apostles together to discuss this circumcision. I think in my next program I'm going to begin reading about that, because some had added to the gospel saying that except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And no man can add any requirement to the gospel of Christ that God himself has not placed there.